Well, today we also know, and every day we know, as the heart of Christ Church, that God has called the church to love Him, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And today, that is exactly what we're going to do. Once again, every Sunday, I say the same thing, and I'm going to keep repeating it because the truth does not change. Amen? We are going to look into the Word of God. For those of you out there joining us on Facebook, Twitter, wherever we happen to be, Periscope, whatever we're on here, please turn in your Bibles to Psalm 91, and we're going to begin there. We're going to break this up. And I do want to apologize, but not really. The apology is this. I generally do not re-preach a sermon, okay? Once taught, let it alone, move on. There's so much scripture that I could preach this Bible all of my life and never get through it. However, with the things that are going on in our world, this sermon actually needs visited once in a while, because this is a sermon that will touch each and every life at all times, no matter where we are, because it's the truth of who God is. So is the rest of His Word. But in this day, I want to give us the hope and the knowledge and the wisdom to move forward. Because how many of you are realizing things are getting worse? How many of you are paying more at the grocery store? How many of you are paying more at the pump? Okay, I think it's terrible. We keep putting more money in the tank just so we can go to work to make money to put more money in the tank. Yeah. It's a never-ending cycle, and we just keep making people richer. How many of you looked? The one fuel company made record profits in the first quarter of this year. So you wonder where all that money's going. Do you think it's gone because, you know, oh, the oil's costing so much? No, it's going into people's pockets, okay? So we need to understand God's love is here. And if we would abide, what does it say, the very first thing? It says, He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. That's my sermon title. But what does it say after that? Will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Let us delve into this word this day. Father God, we come before You knowing that You are the Word in life through Your Son, our Savior. Guide us into this teaching. Guide us into this psalm that we may be one with You. Because in that oneness, Lord God, there's three of You. There's three of You with us and for us. So, Lord God, may it be so this day. Use this fool of a preacher and speak Your truth through him, that You may be glorified and we may be edified in Christ Jesus. The church says, amen. And amen. Verses 1 through 4. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it is He who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His pinions, and under His wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and bulwark. When we begin to understand what it means to abide in the shadow of the Almighty, it is coming to a place of gaining something that we do not have. Because you see, when you abide in something, that means you put your trust in it. You live in it. It becomes your hope. All right? When you abide in something, how many of you abide in your house? Okay? That is where we have, it's called your abode, is it not? All right? And that means we abide there. We live there. That's where we have our being. How many of you feel secure in your house? All right? Yeah. How many of you lock your doors at night? Yeah. You feel that secure, you got to lock your doors, huh? Wait till you get to heaven. There ain't a locked door there. In fact, I don't even know that there are going to be any doors. There won't be any need for doors. You won't have to hide nothing and you won't have to secure nothing. But when we abide in the Almighty, it says that we are to find His refuge. It says, my refuge and my fortress, because He is secure. He is secure, all right? We secure our houses with locks. but he is secure. And I want us to understand that we have been told here that we are to abide in this secret place, okay? This place of hard finding, all right? And where do we gain that? How do we get into the presence of the Lord? How do we become one with him? And you know, how does it all begin? Because, you know, there's a lot of people out there that claim God, don't they? Oh, yeah, we know who God is. That's how they claim it, right? That's how they claim it. Well, yeah, we know who God is. Well, do you believe in him? Well, yeah, I believe there's a God. That's wonderful. How's that working for you? Because not only do you have to believe there is a God, you have to believe in him. What does that mean? That you come to him, that you find yourself in him. How does that happen? Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 14. Please remember, put a bookmark here in Psalms. Don't just turn because you're going to be coming back. So put a bookmark there, and then we're going to go to some other scriptures. John 14. John chapter 14. And you know I'm going to take you to Jesus. I have to take you to Jesus. I don't have the words of life. Only Jesus has the words of life. Amen. So how do we find this secret place? Because this is a secret place. From the 23rd through the 27th verse, we read these words. And Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my word, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Lord will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, nor let it be fearful." Blessed be the word of our Lord. When we understand what is going on here, Jesus says that we've got to come to him. And when we come to him, he brings the Father. And they will both come into us. And they will send the Holy Spirit to us. So there is our Trinity in us, with us. That is that secret place. That is how we get into the shadow of the Almighty. When we make our abode, our dwelling place, just as he makes it us, so too must we make it him. And then he covers us with his protection. And it is so amazing. Verse 4, back here, when we look at the psalm again, verse 4 says something so beautiful. It says, "He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark." Now what it's talking about there is his word, his truthfulness, his faithfulness. All that God is will cover you. That the things of this world will not harm you. And we're going to get into that because there's a lot of people that come at me with that kind of stuff. And I love it when they come at me because the word defends itself. Can I get an amen? And we need to understand that we are weak vessels, but he is strong. But I want you to hear something. He is going to cover us with his pinions. He's going to cover us with his feathers. He's going to cover us with his wings. Now, many of you may have heard this story before, but it's still worth sharing. Years ago, I heard this story. This was out in California during one of their forest fires, many forest fires. They were cleaning up. You know how the firemen will go in? They've got those packs on their back with water and spray pumps, and they're putting out the little fires that literally start more fires. And as they're going through, this forest fire had raged through. And how many of you understand how hot a forest fire gets? A forest fire gets so hot, it will literally melt aluminum, okay, from the wind. It turns it into a furnace, an inferno, okay? It would be like hell on earth, all right? So they're going through, and they're putting out these little fires, and this one firefighter comes up, and he's walking up through, and he sees this weird thing at the base of a tree, and just caught his attention, and he walks over to it. And here on the lee side, on the downwind side, the wind comes in. That's where all the heat comes in. on the downwind side, in the roots. You know how some of these big old gnarly trees have the roots that stick up, you know? In the roots, he sees this thing, and it's like, what the world is that? And he kicks it with his foot, and he realizes, oh my gosh, it's a grouse. And here this grouse had crouched down in the roots of this tree, and the fire came through, and it had scorched it. You know, all the feathers on top of its head were burned off, and the back was exposed, but the wings were there, lodged down in the roots. And he was like, wow, this poor thing, you know, it died in all this heat. And he thought, you know, it was just eerie. He just didn't like the way it looked, so he kicked it out of there to get it over, knock it over so it didn't look so bad. When he knocked it over, there were 6 baby grouse still alive under the wings. You see, the mother grouse found a little niche in the root of the tree, and she covered her babies there with her wings. And when that heat got so hot that it was burning up her feathers, it literally licked the life right out of her. She did not move. She did not go anywhere. She protected her little ones. And they lived. That is our Savior, Jesus Christ. Because he took the flames of hell. He wedged himself into the foot of God, into the root of God. And he allowed the flames of hell to lick on him, to suck the life right out of him, that under his wings we would have life. And that is exactly what dwelling in the shelter of the Almighty is, under the shadow of the Almighty. Because no matter what comes at us in this life, and yes, we can understand, and I'm going to talk about it, things in this life are going to hurt you. Things in this life are going to come at you. But nothing in this life can steal your eternity. Nothing in this life can steal your eternity. I want us to understand that we have become such spoiled people here in the United States that we don't want to give up anything. Oh, if I have to sacrifice something, oh, it's the worst thing in the world. My air conditioning's not working. I can remember being a kid and living in a house that didn't even have fans. We would open the windows, and if you complained about being hot, Mom would say, go outside. My bedroom was on the 2nd story in a Cape Cod. You know, that's the peak of the house, right? How hot do you think it got upstairs? I literally lost weight in my bedroom because it was a sauna. We have become such creatures of comfort that we're not willing to sacrifice anything. And we need to understand, Jesus Christ sacrificed the glory of heaven. He sacrificed the power of eternity. He sacrificed his life's blood for you and I. He gave it all that we may gain everything. And we're to live a life understanding that precept and that principle. And that is exactly what it means to dwell in the shelter of the Most High and to be in the shadow of the Almighty. For it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper. We need to remember, this world's going to come at us. But we do not pay homage to this world. Can I get an amen? Because this world is against us. And if God is for us, you can be rest assured this world's going to be against you. But we don't have to worry about that because he is stronger than this world. He has overcome this world. There is nothing that this world holds against him. He created this world. Do you think he can't tear it down? I think he did that once. It was called the flood. The next time he's coming to do it is with fire. And then the third time he does it is when he restores all things unto eternity. And there will be no more sin. But you and I got to get through the process. This process that we're going through, it's all for us. It's not for him. It's all for us. It's for us to learn who he is. That's what it means to abide in the shadow of the Almighty. We're here to learn. We're here to gain intellect. How many of you have abided in your parents' home for a period of time? How many of you are still abiding in your parents' home? Okay. Amen. Yeah, you got it. Yeah, I never thought of it quite that way, Whitey. He's living in the house he grew up in. He now owns it. That's kind of cool. It's called passing it on to the generations, isn't it? And that's what God is doing. He is passing it on to the generations, passing it on to us. But we have to understand, abiding to make our home in Him, His Word, His presence, His will, casting out all idols. That is one of the things that this also speaks of. When we look at the very first portion of this, that means we can have no other gods before Him. If you are going to dwell in the shelter of the Most High, and you abide in Him, in the shadow, there can be nothing else there with you. Because as soon as you bring in other idols, now you are no longer abiding in Him. Israel was God's chosen people, weren't they? They were worshiping God. They had the temple there. And yet God took them out of the land. Why? Because they began to bring in idol worship. Okay? I want us to understand something. How many of you worship idols every day? How many of you out there? How many of you out there worship idols every day? How many of you have a favorite ball team? Football, basketball, baseball, whatever. You know, it's amazing. I had this conversation with one of our dear saints here just a couple days ago. We used to have a dear sister, and I'm going to pick on her. Y'all know her, Miss Sherry Beard. God love her. She and I used to go around because she would wear her Steelers stuff with pride. My team, my team. And I asked her one day, you know, I said, you know, I've never seen you out there on that field. She looked at me, and pardon my language, but you all know Miss Sherry. She says, you're a smart ass, aren't you? Yes, I am. But we make idols out of everything, and we really don't think about them being idols, but they sneak up on us, and the next thing you know, we're worshiping it more so than we're worshiping God. I'm amazed at the number of people on Super Bowl Sunday want the sermon over 15 minutes early. I'm going to run it into overtime. Let's see who wins. Because we have to remember, if you are going to abide in Him, if you are going to dwell in the shelter of God, He has to be your God, He and He alone. He says, I am a jealous God. You shall have no other gods before Me. And that's how we have to walk in. Hence the song, Only a Holy God. And what did I tell you? Not is He only a holy God. He's the only holy God. We make a bunch of little g gods. They have to leave, because if they do, we will abide, and Christ will cover us with His pinions, and under His wings, we will find refuge. Can I get an amen? Moving on, verses 5 through 10 from Psalm 91. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, or of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. You will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. For you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. No terror by night nor by day will destroy you. You and I need to understand that when we abide in the shadow of the Almighty, no terror by night nor by day will destroy you. I want you to be reminded of just what that means. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Job. Again, keeping a finger there to the book of Job. We're going to be in chapter 5. Job, chapter 5. Verses 17 through 22. Now, how many of us consider ourselves Job many times in life? So it's not a foreign thing to us, is it? But these are his words. These are the words that the Holy Spirit has given us through Job. Behold, how happy is the man whom God reproves. So do not despise the discipline of the Almighty, for he inflicts pain and gives relief. He wounds and his hands also heal. From six troubles he will deliver you. Even in seven, evil will not touch you. In famine, he will redeem you from death, and in war from the power of the sword. You will be hidden from the scourge of the tongue, and you will not be afraid of violence when it comes. And how far did I say? One more. You will laugh at violence and famine, and you will not be afraid of wild beasts. I love this portion of Job. This is something I have held on to since 2010. Does anybody know what happened in 2000? Actually, 2009 it happened, but 2010 is when God showed me this particular scripture. And it's so amazing because you read the Bible as a pastor, you're constantly reading the Bible, so I know I've read it many times before, but I read this, and here's where it is. Number 19, verse 19. It says, from six troubles he will deliver you, even seven evil will not touch you. Does anybody know what I'm talking about yet? Yeah, I should be dead seven times. Okay, now a lot of people are like, wow, seven times you should be dead. I need to clarify that because it's actually more than that. Okay, the first time the Lord saved my life, I had five heart attacks in 2 minutes. The second time God saved my life, I had 14 pulmonary emboli. So if you put all that together, okay, 5 and 14, that's 19. But I consider them instances, all right? And it goes on from there until the last one, the car accident that should have taken me out. And in that car accident, I should have died twice. But I look at it as one whole event. God saved me through seven different events in my lifetime to get me where I am, to submit to Him, and to walk in His favor, to walk in His love, to know that no matter what comes at me, it is not meant to kill me, but it is meant to transform me. Why? Because God loves me so much, He will not leave me like He found me. Do you see how these songs happen? Pastor puts a sermon together and God says, now, here's how you accentuate it. Here's how I want you to worship me. Here's how I want you to see me, because this is who I am. You're going to have trouble in your life. You're going to have back surgery. You're going to have knee surgery. You're going to be sitting in a wheelchair for a little while and walking tough. And I could go down the line here, all right? All of you got your stuff. How many got stuff? How many of you out there got stuff? Yeah. That stuff is not meant to defeat you. That stuff is meant to build you up. That stuff is meant for you to grow in strength. It is meant to transform you, to bring you to that place of understanding the image of holiness that God is trying to deliver into you that you may be received of. He is purging the dross out of our lives, and sometimes it hurts. How many of you have been through the hurt? It hurts, but it will not harm you. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and to give you a hope, not to harm you. That's His word, Jeremiah 29:11. You and I need to understand that, to receive that. No matter what comes at us by night or what comes at us by day, you know, 10,000 will fall at your right hand, He says. Come on, give me a break. How many of you are seeing the people out there dropping over dead? We're talking about this morning. All these football players, all these basketball players, all these young athletes in schools dropping with heart attacks. And now we're being told that, oh yeah, there's a new thing out there. It's called SADS, sudden adult death syndrome. Yeah, that's pretty daggone sad to me. Because it wasn't happening before something else happened. And we are seeing the evil one rise up in this world. And you all better understand it. And I pray you're getting it. Get smart, because if you don't, he's going to try and take you out. But remember, no matter what he does, even if he takes you out, if something happens to you in this lifetime that he takes you out, if you are in Christ Jesus, you are sealed. The Holy Spirit has sealed you. You are his for all eternity. And that is the one thing we need to understand. In this life, you will have suffering. And in this life, it is appointed unto man what? To die once. And then the judgment. But guess what? In Christ Jesus, he has received our judgment. Can I get an amen from the church? And as we walk in that truth, as we hold up that truth, God will hold us up. He will raise us up. He will give us the hope that we need, that no matter what comes at us, we will triumph over it. Isn't that what we're told here in the Psalm? You will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Because in that, they will die eternally. Wait a minute, Pastor. When do we see that? At the end. We need to all understand something. God is a God of delayed gratification. And none of us are going to be gratified when we see that last judgment. We are going to weep and mourn for these people who go into perdition. We need to understand, we're going to be changed from what we are now, wanting vengeance, to wanting mercy. And God's going to give them mercy. But the mercy that he's going to give them is allowing them what they have asked for. And that is perdition itself. We need to understand, he's a holy God. And we will understand that fully one day. But until that day, we're a work in process. And as we abide in the shelter of the Most High God, we shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Can you get a picture of this? Are you getting a picture of this? This is God's love outpoured over you in such a manner that the things of this world, they are going to affect you every day. But God's love is keeping you steadfast, moving you forward. God does not want you stuck somewhere. He wants you moving forward. How many of you like to be stuck in life? Man, I hate being stuck in life. I want to move forward. How many of us love the unknown? Yeah, that's what I thought. We want surety. We want comfort. And that means anything unknown we stay away from. I'm going to tell you right now, I have been a pastor for 25 years now I've been a pastor. And in 25 years, I hate to tell you all this, I have no idea what I'm doing. Y'all might think I'm joking about that. Nope. He's in charge. All I do is follow him. I pray. I get a hold of my elders. We pray. We look into the heart of God, and we move where we see him moving. Can I get an amen? Because it's his world, not ours. We don't control it. How many of you have heard Brother Bobby? And he says it all the time. We lay no claim on this church. It's Jesus Christ's church. And that's the way we need to live our life. This is not my life. This is Jesus Christ's life. I gave it over to him the day I said, Lord Jesus, come in. Do you understand that's what you did? When you ask Jesus to come into your life, when you ask him to come into your heart, you gave the control over to him. He is now sitting in the driver's seat. If you are sitting there and Jesus is your co-pilot, get out of that seat and switch. Because God has a way that he wants to take you. And in that way, we are going to find that no evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. This is speaking of fear. These things are going to be around us, but we don't need to worry about it being in our dwelling place. How many of you right now know we're still living with COVID? We are. It's out there. How many of you are wearing masks? How many of you are social distancing? Well, let's all remember we have to pray for Fauci because he was vaccinated 3 times and still got COVID. So we need to pray for him, okay? And I'm not being facetious. I'm being honest. We need to pray for him. We need, just like we need to pray for Brother Joe, and you all know we're going to do that here after a bit. We need to pray for Sister Nancy, all right? We have to pray for all of these wonderful people because we do not know where God will turn their hearts. Can I get an amen? I'm being serious. I'm not being facetious. Because we fight not against flesh and blood, but we fight against powers and principalities. And I'm going to tell you right now, if these people, and we know there are people out there who are oppressed and some possessed by demonic entities. And if they are oppressed, we need to pray those spirits out. If they are possessed, can we get those spirits out? I love it. I have one of them back here shaking her head yes, and because she knows. She knows, okay? We all need to understand, in us, abiding in the shadow of the Almighty, we actually have that power, and we're going to speak about that. Now, unfortunately, I'm not finishing this sermon today. I told the guys in the back, depending on the amount of time, we're going to cut it because we have an installation to do today. We have an ordination of 3 people and an installation of 4 because we are bringing 2 brand new deacons and an elder into our church, and we are moving 1 elder into our vice presidency because our church is abiding in the Almighty, and we are experiencing the blessings and the glory thereof. And as you walk in this message over this next 2 weeks, because remember, Pastor won't be here next week. I got the men's ministry up at camp, okay? And I pray that you will all be here because I have an excellent speaker coming in next week. This is one of the few times I've actually picked a better guy than me to preach, okay? I don't like to do that often because, you know, that can be a little hairy when the pastor's gone and you have a better preacher coming in. But Pastor Mick Allen, dear friend of mine, I've known him. In fact, he sang, he and his wife did the worship at my ordination service, all right? Wonderful brother in Christ. Wonderful brother in Christ. And you will be blessed, and I do mean that. He just retired, so you are getting his first sermon after 3 months of rest. I cannot wait to hear what he unloads on you people, all right? So please, I am not kidding you, Brother Mick is out of this world great, and I think you will be blessed. So tune in next week, because you're going to get a guest speaker that you'll probably only see once in a while, if at all ever again, because I don't know how much time we got left. Can I get an amen? We see the things coming, we see them happening, and we need to learn to abide in the shelter the Most High, all right? We need to abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And next time we get together, which will be first Sunday in July, I will finish this sermon. But until that, I want you to remember this. Angels long to hear your words. I want you to read the rest of this psalm. Figure out what I mean by that. Okay? Father God, we come before you as the Church of Jesus Christ. May this word that we have begun begin an even better work in us. May we be drawn unto the heart of God, to your love, and through it may our abiding remember that the things of this world may come at us, but they cannot rob us of our position in you. We are secure forever. And that is our hope. Not my cushy, comfy life here, but the reality that my eternity is secure in Christ Jesus, who died for me. In your holy name, O Lord. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. www.thehardofchrist.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.